Phil Baker is an institution in children's entertainment in South Dakota with his red guitar and upbeat lyrics. Phil Baker gets kiddos out of their seats, wiggling in the aisles. He's been all over the world. You can see him at the Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City this Friday at 10 Mountain Time. He's at the Sturgis Public Library tomorrow at 4. That's sponsored by the Rapid City Arts Council. The Dahl is sponsored by the Rapid City Arts Council. But first, Phil Baker is with us today. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Phil, welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to see you seated without little bodies flinging themselves all around you, dancing.
I have 150 kids hiding out in the lobby.
Bring them in. It's going to be a public broadcasting celebration. Tell us about the Rapid City Sturgis shows. How often do you get out West River and bring the act there?
Well, I think I get out to West River at least two or three times a year. I've been to many of the schools and libraries. Later this summer, I'll be part of the Find a Park Day for Mount Rushmore. Okay. And then I also have another event in July that I'll be out there for.
All right. So what's the, do you have a theme? Do you have something that you're sort of basing these shows on, or is it just summer fun?
This is a lot of summer fun. I get kids up dancing and moving around and part of the show. And that's
what
it's all about.
Yeah. If you haven't ever been to a Phil Baker concert, it's really participatory.
Absolutely.
Was that intentional when you started out, or was it one of those things where the kids just sort of started going and you worked it into what you were doing?
You know, it all kind of happened by accident, because I had set out to be a jazz guitar player and had been studying jazz music at the University of Miami in Florida when a teacher at SDSU invited me into a classroom to play for the kids, and I brought my guitar in, and it was just kind of a unique experience, and the kids really loved the music. And then I thought, wow, you know, she asked me afterwards, have you thought about writing and performing music for kids? And I had never thought of that before.
And the rest is history? Or how did you sort of find your way into that then? Because there aren't as many sort of,
there aren't a lot of us out there.
There aren't a lot of you out there. There's some really strong ones.
She had some friends out in California that had a children's music group called Steve and Greg. And so she put me in touch with them, and they had been doing music for quite a while. And I talked to them about it, and they kind of gave me a few tips on how to get started. And so I had my first school performance not all that long after that at the Esteline Elementary School. And from there, I started going to putting on school assembly programs, got connected with the South Dakota Arts Council, and started going to festivals and fairs and all kinds of different places. And so it sort of evolved.
At what point in this do you have children of your own? Does this begin before you're a dad?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Way back in 1987, and so my kids are 12 and 14 now, and so they didn't even come along until the 2000s.
So what was it about when's the first time when you look at the kids and you say, yeah, this is worth the energy that it's going to take to put into it to build a career and have this be my primary audience for this part of my life?
Yeah, well, it's sort of, I guess I was able to let it grow over the years. I didn't have to, although it was my full-time work, I didn't necessarily have to. I never thought of it as trying to go out and, getting a recording deal or something, sure, because it was for kids, and I was doing a lot of performances in the Midwest, and so.
So now that your kids are older, are you less cool? Have they hit that stage yet where they're like, oh, Dad, really? Or is it just like a constant increase in your cool factor in your family a musician?
You know, when they were younger, they always participated in the shows and would lead the conga line.
Right.
And, Philip would like to do that, and Sean would like to hide up on stage behind me and peek his head around. And so we have a lot of great photos of the kids over the years being involved in the show. And then, now that they're in middle school and Philip's going on to high school, they still like to come along with me on the tours but they're not as part of the show as much.
Right. How do you think they will look back on your career as adults and as fathers or parents themselves, if they decide to be parents, how do you think they'll remember their dad's work?
I have sort of taken the approach of letting them find their own creative path and find things that really interest them and that they love to do. So that would probably be, kind of the main thing. But I think, you know, seeing their dad on stage probably gives them a certain confidence, or they right. believe that they can do that or know how to do that, and it helps them in different ways in school.
Yeah. You brought your guitar with you. I'm glad you did.
I did, yeah.
You want to play something for us?
Yeah, you know, I thought what I'd do is kind of give some examples. It all started with the freeze rock. I'll do a little bit of that and kind of show you some of the things I like to do with kids. But so everything has, most everything has a part for the kids. So
right.
Here's a little game we call a freeze. You can bubble around any way you please and do the freeze. Do the freeze. When hit that music stop, whoa, you do the freeze. So when I do a song like that, what I do, being a jazz guitar player, I add all kinds of jazz chords to it. So it's not just your typical rock and roll song. So I'm doing that kind of thing. And so, or when I do the swim, come on everybody, let's do the swim. Come on everybody and do the swim. Come on everybody, let's do the swim. Grab a nose and jump right in. Let's swim. Do the swim. Kind of thing. So I'm always adding interesting things
right.
that make it fun for me to play. So I'm playing my guitar, trying to do interactive music to get the kids involved, and also singable melodies and a wide diverse range of genres that I write
right.
in.
And it keeps the parents, it gives something for the adults to enjoy, and that, and you don't get that song stuck in your head and hate it. You get the song stuck in your head and you realize it's there's something in there with the layers of the musicality for all ages too, you think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when I've done recordings, for the most part, I've always tried to use real musicians and not rely on so much technology and pre-recorded kinds of beats. I think when I go into a studio and let's say I have a drummer, a bass player, a keyboard player, a horn section, it's always important to let those musicians add their creativity to the song, because it makes it a better song than I right. would actually be able to do just all on my own.
So I'm a big fan of children's literature and of the authors who take the craft seriously. And that's what this sounds like to me. Someone who's taking, you're not dumbing it down for kids or saying, well, this is just for kids, they'll never notice. Mm-hmm. You're taking the craft seriously. You're playing real music for them. That's what makes it authentic. That's what makes it endure, do you think? Part of what, more than 25 years in the business
yeah,
now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, songs that I wrote a long time ago still can sound fresh today or original today. Or this the style of music that I've created for myself, I guess, the style of music kind of endures over time, and so it's not something that a fad, for example.
Right. So I was listening to some of your conversations with my wonderful colleague Carl Gerke. You've talked to him before, and he asked you once if kids have changed over the 25 years, and that made me think that's a question worth asking again. Are they still up and jumping around, or are they sitting at the concert with their iPads? And their phones and not looking up. Have you noticed kids changing throughout the years?
Yeah. Well, I've always said that it's not kids that change so much. It's the environment that changes, so that, human nature is still essentially the same, but the tools that kids have that are part of their lives now have definitely changed in the way that they will respond at a concert. For example, they're exposed to so much in the way of technology and gaming that it can be a little bit more of a challenge. But once I get them involved in the program, I think they're usually having a lot of fun, and you know, it's just a matter of showing them what I do and involving right. them in the process. So
now you have to do that with not only your role has changed, because every mom, dad, and adult now has their camera, as a camera. They can film your whole concert that, my kid's doing something cute. I'm going to take a picture of it. Have you had to sort of get past that as a performer to say, whereas before it's kind of you and the kids and we're all having a good time, we can cut loose and be silly, versus now we cut loose and be silly, but it's on YouTube by the afternoon. Does that help you spread the word, or has that been a hesitation for you that you've had to figure out how to adjust as a performer to always being stage in a different way?
Well, I don't know if it's changed what I do. I think parents have sort of always wanted to capture moments with their kids, and so I don't worry about that too much. People are more connected, and so there are more, there are going to be more parents that are on their phones during a performance, That's kind of the way it is.
Right. Just part of the transition.
Yeah.
Moving into 2017.
Yeah.
When you perform, and I've seen you perform, I don't know how many times, but not only are you have to be aware of the situation, all the kids around you, you're making this music.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hot.
Oh,
it
yes.
might be a sweltering summer day. It might be crowded. It might be loud. The baby might start crying. How do you sort of stay in that moment as a performer and let it all roll? And it seems to me like you're enjoying it and celebrating it and just enjoying being, being a kid amongst kids.
Sure.
In the back of your mind, are you going, man, this is hard. I'm hot. Or are you really having as much fun as it seems that you're having?
You know, there are times when it can be very, very hot out. I always look for a shady spot first, if I can find a shady spot.
Yeah.
And if it's really, really hot and the kids are out dancing in the sun, I try to make sure they, take some water breaks. I politely suggest sunscreen. I'll have them go stand in the shade. If there's a shady, even if they have to move a little bit to go. I did that just the other day when we had the bubble parade here at Terrace Park, and it was starting to get hot. And so halfway through the show, we all kind of stood in the shade, and you sort of have to take care of the kids' needs as they come up.
Yeah. The great children's author Maurice Sendak, who wrote he didn't write Little Bear, he illustrated the Little Bear books, but he did a TV show called Little Bear, and his philosophy was, how gentle can we make it?
Mm-hmm.
And he and the crew just came back again and again to, how kind can we be today? How gentle can we be today? When you write new music or reevaluate music you've already written and ready yourself for performance, do you have an ethos? Do you have themes? Do you have a philosophy that says, I want my music to always be this? When I explore a new area, I have to do it in this way.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I think that it's not easy to put that in words, but it's always about kindness and looking at the world as some place that could be, better for children. How do I do something that, makes the world better for kids? Whether it's learning a simple concept about growing up healthy, or one of my songs, I have a lyric, there's beauty everywhere, but not everyone can see it. And so I'm always thinking in terms of, how do you make a kinder, more beautiful world? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it comes from.
You want to play something else for us?
Sure.
What do you have?
You know what? I'm just going to play a little bit of, I have to retune my...
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment, South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guest is Phil Baker. He's tuning up his guitar. You can see him tomorrow at 4 o'clock Mountain at the Sturgis Public Library, Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City, this Friday at 10. A little classical music. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
What does children's entertainment and children's music, children's literature, what does that really give for kids? That they, it's about more than keeping them busy. Although it can be that too. But they store that up as adults. What do you think the role is of children's entertainers?
Well, I think that it's important, and I really appreciate the South Dakota Arts Council for this. I think it's really important to have people that are dedicated to the live performance of music and other art forms, so that we don't, so that it doesn't become a situation where only the superstars are seen, but it needs to be part of our everyday kind of thing where there are people out performing and you can go be part of a show. So yeah. I think it's important to get out into the schools. And being in a rural state, it's it doesn't happen as much as it used to when I started. You know, there aren't as many opportunities in the schools. Budgets are down for schools, and so they're not bringing in live performance, and there always has to be a reason or a how is this going to be part of the curriculum, rather than important to bring this artist in because this artist wrote a song about South Dakota that tells us something, or has or just exposing kids to creative artists and in general. It's really important,
and in some ways it also shows them that hey, this is a job.
That it can be a job.
They can see a scientist, they can go to see a doctor, but they need to go see a musician, because some of those kids are the future musicians, the future arts professionals in the state as well.
Absolutely.
Phil Baker, what else should I have asked you? What would Carl Gerke have asked you? Were Carl Gerke here hosting the program
Gerke,
as he did for so many years?
Oh, Carl, he asks the toughest questions.
Doesn't he, though?
Oh,
because he's smarter than I am.
If Carl was here, I would be sweating bullets. No, Carl would probably ask about some of the artists and musicians in the jazz world that are influences on me. And so, for example, Steely Dan was a big influence in my growing up, and so I always appreciated the kinds of rhythms and melodies and chord structures that they use. And I wanted to bring that cool element of music to kids' music.
Yeah. All right. Well, my suggestion is that you host Jazz Nightly with Carl one night. Have you done that yet?
I haven't. I would love to do that.
All right. You need to sit in as a co-host on a Jazz Nightly, and we'll have the Phil Baker Carl Gerke show. You can see Phil Baker tomorrow, Sturgis Public Library at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, Doll Arts Center in Rapid City this Friday at 10 Mountain. That is sponsored by the Rapid City Arts Council. Phil, thank you so much
Thank you,
for
Lord.
Being with us today. Come back anytime.
Thank you.